Hi, good afternoon. My name is Rhea and I'm a compulsive overeater. I had previously been asked to speak on my experience with step one and the doctor's opinion from the big book, so that's what this will be about. I should note that I briefly attended Overeaters Anonymous in the early 2000s but left. I returned in May of 2020. I will cover a bit of my history, a bit of my program, and the topics of the day. I was first made aware that I had a weight issue when I was 3. My parent commented, "Oh, those legs." By second grade, I was really aware of the issue and felt a deep shame and regret about being who I was. From then until now, I have struggled with the issue. In my case, there was a genetic component to the disease. My father exhibited compulsive overeating behaviors. His mother wrestled with weight management. His grandmother and great aunt managed their weight issues by following a strict regimen of food restriction, food choices, and daily exercise. They locked the refrigerator at night and kept the bread in the freezer. I find this interesting because bread and other flour products are my main trigger foods. As for step one, I consider it a relief. I have always believed in a spiritual positive force from which I came and to which I will return. However, I did not invest myself in that higher power. I did not engage in a daily acknowledgement of that power. I have come to realize that the time I spend in prayer, spiritual readings, and meditation give me the ability to work the program without the anxiety of perceived success or failure. I can be at peace. While I do not spend as much time in spiritual reflection as other OAers might report, I do engage in brief daily prayer, a daily meeting, and work a 10th step every few days. I also do service, which I consider a spiritual practice. I am overjoyed in my powerlessness over food. Thank goodness this is a disease and not my fault. Thank goodness I have identified those foods and mental habits which trigger the cravings and drive the compulsion. What a gift. I came to this program in a state of desperation and emotional exhaustion. I was willing to do whatever was required, and if this meant adopting a spiritual practice, then by gum, I was going to do it. Like so many of us, I had lost and gained weight repeatedly with an ultimate high of 246 pounds. This led me to a popular weight loss program, which worked for a while. Prior to this, I had addressed my weight issue through many diet plans, and of course, I was always engaged in some sort of exercise regimen. Do I regret these efforts? Absolutely not. Had I not continually tried to reduce my weight, I would have been in far worse condition. All of these efforts worked for a while, but I was emotionally unable to sustain them. I just got tired. Accepting my powerlessness over food, the concept of a healing higher power, and the willingness to rely on this higher power has brought me peace. The identification of my trigger foods, along with a plan of eating, has led to ongoing physical and emotional recovery. I am 63 years old now. This recovery has been a long time coming. So I cling to my reliance on my higher power, and in the peace provided through this connection, I schedule my meal times, prepare nutritious foods, weigh and measure my portions, engage in reasonable exercise, work the steps, attend daily OA meetings, and to broaden my understanding of the disease, oh, pardon me, and broaden my understanding of my disease through AA and Al-Anon YouTube videos. Although I am not a member of either of these programs, from them I have learned a good deal about the nature of the disease and emotional sobriety. In the AA Big Book, the doctor's opinion notes the addictive nature of alcohol for the alcoholic, and that it is an allergic response to this substance which manifests as an irresistible compulsion to drink beyond one's reason against one's will. How often did a lump of Italian deliciousness or spicy meat dish shoot me out of my bed at 11:30 at night? They called my name and I went. Generally, my substance allergies include wheat, rye, rice, all processed sweeteners, fatty foods, excessively salty foods, peanuts, and caffeine. Does this mean that I never have any of these substances? No, on rare occasion, I may have a bit, but I understand that they may cause cravings, which I then must endure. I do not want to suffer these cravings. I want to be at peace. So, to protect my peace, I avoid or minimize time spent in situations which endanger my abstinence, either through overt temptation or emotional turmoil. I have learned to reduce time with those who dwell on past grievances and use others to exercise their own pain. I cannot bring them peace, and their dramas make me emotionally, physically, and spiritually sick. Rehashing the past and mulling things over are dangerous to my abstinence. Nor can I engage in fretting over current dilemmas. I must do what practicality dictates can be done. I must leave the rest up to fate and my higher power. The Big Book notes that alcoholics who engage in controversy put their sobriety at risk. Also, their many stories emphasize how situational and environmental triggers led them to succumb to the temptation of drink. So, when traveling or visiting relatives, I bring my own food if necessary. At home, I substitute absent foods for those that cause cravings. Here are four examples. Number one, I serve green beans under my tomato sauce. Number two, I mash a sweet potato with unsweetened cocoa powder and some frozen cherries to make a cherry cocoa treat. Number three, I use raw shredded potato as a thickening agent for sauces and soups. And number four, I make a low-fat sausage by browning lean ground turkey with dry onion, poultry seasoning, ground fennel, and garam masala. Most importantly, I remember that the garbage can is my friend. If I buy a grocery product that elicits an addictive response, I throw it out. I generally eat my meals within a specific windows of time and within a specific caloric range. My foods include vegetables, absent carbohydrates, lean protein, fruit, and a bit of low-fat dairy. My emphasis is on vegetables. As I am eating less, I want to eat well. To assist in the improvement of my health, I mix weight training with light cardio, biking, walking, that kind of thing. Over the years, like so many of us, I carried the weight-related burdens of emotional exhaustion, shame, guilt, social withdrawal, and to an extent, social exclusion. Within the fellowship of OA, I can at last set these burdens down. When family members or acquaintances question the quality of what I am doing, push a new diet, medication, or exercise regimen, I relate that I am happy with what I am doing and am enjoying success. Perhaps it is not as dramatic as others would expect, but it's steady, doable, and maintainable. I am at peace, knowing that I am getting better. And at whatever weight at which my body settles, it will be the right weight for me. That is all I have to say.